Hello and welcome to the Azure Stack session. My name is Charles Joy, Principal Program Manager on the Azure Stack team. I'm going to be walking you through some slides today, and then I got some demos. I actually have three different demo environments, each at different stages that have different things, and I'll get to that when I get to the demo. So at first I wanted to show some resources. These are published online. I got a blog on them and everything. But the one to, if you not have anything to do with Azure Stack yet and you're just interested, that first one's for you. It's the landing page for Azure Stack, the product information, all up on azure.com. That second link is a blog post that I have that's a guide of other AKA sites. So it's a whole bunch of AKA sites that lead to the forums, to the GitHub, to User Voice, a whole bunch of resources for you. I did a TechNet radio episode recently on Azure Stack, so if you don't get enough of me here, you could go watch me there with Young Chow. So we can you can take a look at that. And then, of course, the best resources, as have been talked about all kind of throughout the day, I've heard the Azure Stack and Azure mentioned since it's Azure Day, I believe. Azure, so http portal.azure.com, and then there's those quick start templates that were just talked about, and then we got Azure Stack, which will be portal.azurestack.local once you deploy the POC. So of course we have GitHub templates as well, and I'll talk through that in a moment too. But first, let's talk about what Azure Stack is, the vision, and the definition. So Azure Stack extends the Azure vision by bringing the cloud model of computing to every data center. So that's the vision. The definition, and the important part here is in blue, Azure Stack is a new hybrid cloud platform product. It enables organizations to deliver Azure services from their own data center in a way that's consistent with Azure. It's a new hybrid cloud platform product. That's the thing I want to impress on you. It is not something we've done before in this same exact way. This is Azure on premises. We share code at many levels, and then we're making it work on products that you have in your data center or will have in your data center. So what does a hybrid cloud platform look like? I'm going to start at the top here where is the best place to start, because it's the end user experiences we want to light up. We want to light up those self-service end user experiences that customers can go and start using, creating virtual machines, creating services. So we need something that enables end user experiences. And what we have in our stack that's very unique, and I'll get to that in a moment, is a cloud application model, which is enabled by infrastructure and platform services. And then of course the cloud infrastructure underneath. And then we have, the Azure Stack value prop here for hybrid is that we have the same exact platform for private, hosted, and public. As you can see, if we overlay the Azure portions on here, we have at the top level, those user experiences are Portal, PowerShell, and DevOps tools, which in that cloud application model is Azure Resource Manager. Then there's Azure IaaS and PaaS supporting is the platform and the infrastructure there, and then the cloud infrastructure underneath that. In comes Azure Stack. Now these are a lot alike. In fact, those two top portions are identical. We share code with Azure. Azure Stack shares code. That's very important because we are, as some folks have been saying today, not Azure-like, we are Azure. So underneath Azure Resource Manager, we have Azure IaaS and Azure PaaS with compute, network, and storage, and app service and service fabric. And you can see there's some asterisks there. We're in technical preview one, and I really didn't start with that. I probably should have. So January 29th, we released a technical preview one, so just over a month ago. And we have web apps from the app service side available today, and I'll show you a quick demo of that. And then we have service fabrics not yet in TP1, but it'll be coming out in other technical previews. And of course, under that IaaS and PaaS layer, we have cloud-inspired infrastructure. Now, this is cloud-inspired infrastructure because it's not at the hyperscale of Azure. So Azure was built and is built and run at hyperscale globally. Azure Stack has to work minimally in a POC, like one in a one-node environment, and then expand out to multiple nodes. And we're still working through what those multiple nodes look like, the management of those, and all that. All of this enables the developers and IT to experience one Azure ecosystem, a unified application development model, and Azure services in their data center. So, speaking more about those Azure services in your data center, we need a transformation to happen. We need resources, just data center resources, to be transformed into cloud services. So that whole concept of self-service, so the end user experiences, that self-service experience for infrastructure as a service, as well as PaaS, platform as a service. So from the IaaS side, we have virtual machines, virtual network, storage accounts, storage containers, Docker-enabled containers. We can do Windows containers as well. It's just guest OS applications at that point. For self-service PaaS, we have App Service and Service Fabric, like I talked about before. And right now, and even in the demo, we'll talk through, we'll show some web app stuff. And of course, this all enables flexible service delivery with an Azure-based management and automation tools, namely Azure Resource Manager. On to the next pillar, which is a unified app development. That whole concept of write once, deploy to Azure or Azure Stack. And for our purposes, it's everywhere, but you get the idea, because it's that same ARM template, that JSON template that was just talked about. It's the identical application model. It's the same APIs. We have the same role-based access control. And we have the same development experience with PowerShell, Azure Portal, Visual Studio as our first party. And of course, we have third-party stuff that just works that's been maybe created against the Azure API, like Azure Azure Storage Explorer. And that just works against Azure Stack. And I'll show a demo of that too. So you have a choice of open source applications and platforms, languages, and frameworks. All of this enables the one Azure ecosystem. We need it. It's there. I mean, the Azure ecosystem's there. Azure Stack is coming in, and we're able to share all the same resources, across that broad ecosystem. It's there to jumpstart your Azure Stack efforts, and will enable an even greater and richer Azure ecosystem moving forward. We have already, got a sort of a tutorial on Git and stuff like that, and showed the Azure Quick Start templates. We have Azure Resource Manager templates, both for Azure and Azure Stack, and I'll talk through the details there. We have Windows Server and Linux VM images available. Right now, you can start deploying them. We have third-party services and extensions that will go live later in future technical previews. And then we are leveraging GitHub, just like Azure, to store and share all the application components. This is one of my favorite slides that we get to show, and it's a great talking point, especially when I talk to customers one-on-one and EBCs and stuff like that, where we start to envision what one Azure ecosystem actually means. So earlier in the day, we talked about the number of Azure regions, 22 operational and 28 announced. And this is what that looks like on the map. Once we start getting Azure Stack out there and service providers start getting certified for to run Azure services on Azure Stack, you can see the map starts filling out in regions that Azure data centers don't exist. So service providers can differentiate themselves both from geography as well as other things that they may want to support. They may be able to give even better support or want handholding or whatever. But the point is, service providers can add that different geography and other value-add services in their Azure Stack, Azure regions that are enabled by Azure Stack. Take that a step further. You, as an enterprise, can, you will be standing up your Azure Stack, and then your neighbor will be standing up their Azure Stack. And it's not like you're going to share data or anything like that. But you may be wondering, well, how do I do this with containers? And you don't have to, scour the internet too far. You could just go and look, because that giant Azure ecosystem that's shared by Azure Stack will be there for you, and it'll give you that idea that'll get you over that hump of learning of what to do for that application. So a little bit about the Azure Stack architecture. This is a summary. I'm going to take a drink 1 second. A little bit about the Azure Stack architecture summary. So again, starting at the top, we have those end user experiences, guest workload resources for infrastructure and platform as a service. We can provision VMs, Linux, or Windows, storage blobs, containers. We can create and consume virtual networks. We can deploy websites, and eventually, not in this technical preview, I keep want to caveat that, service fabric clusters. So those end user experiences are, you know, are made possible by everything underneath. And the next thing down is that unified application model we talked about. And that is essentially the heart, as Azure Resource Manager, it's the heart of Azure Stack. In fact, we'll move to this next slide so you could add a little bit more color to the slide, literally. That unified app model is Azure Resource Manager in this case. And it's the heart of Azure Stack and the heart of Azure. And it's the same. It's enabling those end user experiences. And it itself is managing the extensible service framework underneath. Starting with the core services, which allows for, you know, the whole subscription model. A user subscribes to an offer that has plans, which is a quota bucket, and I'll get to that in the demonstration. But also, the core services enable role-based access control, the visibility into the gallery, metrics, and usage. I'm going to skip over additional services for now and go to the foundational services, which you're very familiar with, compute, storage, networking, and then other platform services. And those tie directly to that cloud-inspired infrastructure and the infrastructure management components that are, you know, coming in future technical previews in Azure Stack. But we have, you know, compute at that cloud infrastructure is Hyper-V, and it talks to the compute resource provider in that extensible service framework, foundational service. Likewise, storage with Storage Spaces Direct and Scale-Out File Server is what this SRP, or Storage Resource Provider, is communicating with to enable those end user experiences for creating storage accounts. And then networking, the network controller, is a network resource provider, is talking to the software load balancers, creating load balancers, creating virtual networks, creating distributed firewalls, service chaining, and things like that. So all of this is great, and if you're just doing vanilla stuff, absolutely, you don't have to do any additional services. So, but when you need something else, something more than just vanilla, then we have these additional services. And they come from both Microsoft Azure services, like web apps and SQL, MySQL, and a host of other services that we're bringing on premises, but also third-party services. We're working with a number of ISVs that are creating value-added services that interact and provide, you know, billing, chargeback, service management capabilities. So all of this is coming. And again, on every slide I have here, the physical hardware for TP1 proof of concept is one server. And we'll get, again, all of that in the demonstration. My next slide here is discussing the application spectrum that we that we enable. And it's not just one type of application. We enable the spectrum from single machine, maybe legacy or classic, even though we don't want to use those words. A single VM, it's an app that needs to run in that specific version with all, you know, it's the pet that needs to continue to run. That single machine is supported through multi-tiered applications like SharePoint, which needs a front end, websites, application, it needs a back end database, it needs Active Directory. So we support that application deployment, as well as the stuff that's up and coming, this cloud native concept with microservices, containers, stuff that spans VMs and platform as a service offerings. The similarity between these things is really Azure Resource Manager's ability to consume one of those JSON templates, those ARM templates. So that single machine is a template that gets deployed as a resource group, and it's just a little less complex, maybe a lot less complex than the multi-tiered example. And then that one's less complex than the cloud native. And I have examples of all of these I'll show. So this is a hot topic slide. If I'm ever in person with a customer, and I'm sure I'll get a million questions about this after I'm finished. This slide here, this is nothing new. We've actually, a version of this, if not the same exact image, has been available for many weeks now. I believe it's up on one of the tech website articles. But what I want to talk about here is that this is Azure. It may not be the most up-to-date placemat of services from Azure, but it is Azure. And where are we overlaying as Azure Stack for our first release, our GA? And let me take a step back at this moment to talk just very high level at where we are with timing on that. So we have We're in TP1 right now, Technical Preview 1. That started the end of January. We'll be in Technical Preview 1 until we're in Technical Preview 2, which will be later. And then there'll be a Technical Preview 3. And then there'll be a GA near the end of the year. That's about as specific as I'm going to get because, you know, well, that we're early on in the dev cycle and I don't want to make any promises, honestly. So that said, when we get to GA, the boxes that are green are what we're committing to having available for Azure Stack when Azure Stack is production ready at GA for that initial release. Now the boxes with stars, those services are slated to be in preview while Azure Stack is in GA. This is very similar, if not exactly, how Azure works, where they have updates continually updating, and the services go through a preview to GA cycle over time. So you're likely looking at this list and going, well, the one I want doesn't have a green box around it. Well, that, you know, I want that feedback. Please go to User Voice, and we'll send the links out to User Voice if you don't know it already. Go to User Voice, look for the thing that you want, because probably someone else has said that too, and upvote it or add comments to it. If your box is, if the thing you want is in the box, then and it's available right now in TP1, please validate it. Tell us how it's working for you. Tell us if the consistency story we're promising is the same. We need this feedback because that we have from now until the end of the year to make things, you know, what you want for that first release, and then we'll be able to make updates after that, so on and so forth, and then other services will come online. Now, because there's a lot of Azure services on this list, and some of them don't have boxes on them, we are in contact with all those teams and talking to them how we can bring their service. So it's API consistent, so we can use the same template in either Azure or Azure Stack on premises. So we're not abandoning anybody. This is just our first go. Again, we're in TP1. We're going to have technical previews throughout the year, and then we're going to have a GA at the end of the year, and this is what we're targeting. Of course, this can change. I just want to give you an idea where we are. So speaking of TP1, since I keep talking about it, Azure Stack Technical Preview 1, proof of concept, has a page full of bulleted list of key experiences. Now these range from Azure consistent, like from the tenant side, as well as, or to, provider experiences, which you don't get in Azure. Because when you get an Azure Stack and you deploy it, you're putting that admin password in when you deploy it. You own that stack. You own what resource providers are put in there. So you determine whether that Azure Stack you stood up has just IaaS, or it has IaaS and PaaS things, or it just has the specific PaaS things your customers want or your business units want. So reading this list, and I'm actually not going to read through them, but I'm going to show you some of them in my demonstration. The purple ones are the ones that are provider specific. So I'll show you creating a plan and offer. I'll show you looking at an existing plan and offer. We'll browse the resource providers. We'll register, well, we won't register a resource, but I'll show you a registered resource provider that doesn't come out of the box, namely web apps. So these other experiences are tenant experiences, which providers can also do because providers have a subscription. But tenants are the consumers of that, that plan slash offer that I subscribe to as a tenant. So obviously I could get a subscription, otherwise I have no capacity to do anything. After I do that, I could create VMs, I could create storage accounts, I could create databases, web apps, all this stuff. Now, I did put the links here again for the GitHub for Azure Stack and then the GitHub for Azure. Both of those can be used as resources. We have actually validated, and I believe in our readmes now, we have a little table that says whether it was validated on Azure or Azure Stack. We have, so Azure Stack GitHub is there. It's a point in time repo. We don't want a lot of proliferation in that repository because we want one repository. That's the goal. But right now, we are shipping a version of Azure Stack that's a version of Azure, essentially, and that is an older version because Azure revs quite often. I mean, I'm sure you've logged in and you see the little notification that says four things have been updated since you last logged in. Because we're shipping a point in time version, there's going to be a little drift between the ARM versions and what's supported for those templates in Azure Stack versus what's supported in Azure. So we're keeping track of those. It's actually in the README of the Azure Stack GitHub. There's some just slight things that you won't be able to do in Azure Stack. But for that reason, we have a separate repo and we're keeping things that are validated there. Now, obviously, anything that works in Azure Stack should work in Azure, so that's not a problem. But not everything that's in Azure will work in Azure Stack. And you know that will be probably through the life of the the products, because there'll be things in Azure that we don't have in Azure Stack yet, right? So there'll be services that we don't have. So if you have a template that has this service that's in Azure that's not in Azure Stack, obviously that's not going to work. And we're working through how do we make that easier, how we know we're targeting the right services, and how templates are more aware. And we're working through all that stuff. Anyway, so currently you still have the ability to create ARM templates for both. You could deploy ARM templates via PowerShell to both. You deploy ARM templates via Visual Studio to both. You could use Azure Storage Explorer against both. And of course, what everyone wants to see, because they're going to get stuck and they're not going to have, you know, be able to send an email or go to the forum post. They just want to know that how you do that one thing. We actually have an icon on the desktop after you deploy that's the link to the docs. So no one has an excuse for not reading the manual. And with that, I will now transition to a set of demo experiences that I have. So, as I said, I have three actual environments I'm going to be using, and I'm leveraging virtual desktops for that, so I don't get lost. Well, I still may get lost, but we're going to hop into the first environment. This actually is an environment that was deployed yesterday, so it's fairly new, and actually I'll go ahead and show you just that I was deploying one beforehand. I don't think it had finished yet, but not much here. If we go browse resource groups. Really, that single one that I did there is churning, I believe. It's still deploying. Yeah, it's still deploying here. And I kicked that off via PowerShell. I'm not going to get into that. I want to show you some of the tenant experiences and the provider experiences here. So I am currently logged in as the service admin. You can see that here. That's the name of it. But one of the key things you can see there is, while I'm logged in, I have the permissions to see the resource provider. So let's go just quickly take a look at that. Now again, I am acting as a provider in this case. So these are things you can do in Azure. Because you see here, I have the compute provider, resource provider, network provider, storage provider. And then as I add web apps or SQL, you'll see other resource providers here. And it's essentially as simple as clicking add, then filling out the form. I have another environment that has web apps that I'll be talking about. So let's take a look at storage provider, since this is the one that we really concentrated on getting a sort of an admin experience for. So I'm going to click on manage there, and I'm going to let that load. And we're going to take a look at now this is going to change for TP2 likely, but I want to show you what's available in TP1 and what you can do from just sort of an admin experience. There's not a lot. It's mostly just read-only stuff, if not all read-only. You can see if there's active faults. You can see the capacity. And we'll take note of this capacity compared to an existing system that's been running for like 11 days, what the capacity usage has been there. If we scroll down, we get some fancy graphs on usage and availability. Keep scrolling down. We start getting into some more, if you're a Windows Server IT pro or something like that, more information that you're more comfortable with if you're not used to Azure. So we could see there's the Azure Consistent Virtual Machine that's essentially serving up all of this Azure capability for storage, as well as the host that I'm using that the storage node is actually deployed on. Likewise, we could look at the file share, and we could look at the actual file share. And in TP1, you still have full access, so you could, if you wanted to, navigate to that. But you can imagine that's not probably experience we're going to have, from TP1 on, TP2 on, because we want to abstract all this. We want a portal experience for this kind of stuff. But for now, you could take a look at the innards, and you can see there's the platform images. I have an Ubuntu one, and I have a Windows Server one. And we could look at the extensions. You can see here are all my extensions. I got Docker. I got BG Info. I have various versions of PowerShell DSC. And then custom scripts for Linux and stuff like that. We've even had reports of people just taking the DSC for Linux extension, putting it in here, writing a template or leveraging an existing template, deploying and working. So we're not limiting you by what we ship. We're just shipping what we can and then enabling the functionality. As long as you follow the naming convention and all that, you're good to go. So that's kind of the extent of the admin experience for TP1. And I'll admit, it's not that expansive. In fact, for one of the main targets for TP2 is a more enhanced provider or administration operator experience. What we really want to concentrate on are those experiences that are consistent with Azure, meaning I am logging in and I'm I am provisioning a virtual machine or provisioning a web app or something like that. So for that, I have another persona, and I actually logged in as a tenant admin one, as you can see here. I even made the backgrounds different colors so I don't get confused, honestly. But here I've logged in, and you know, I really can't do anything yet because I don't have a subscription. Well, this isn't quite yet Azure consistent because you have a subscription. I mean, no, I guess you could. If you don't have a subscription and you log in, you're gonna see, you know, you need a subscription to do anything. So if I go ahead and get subscription, select an offer, you only have visibility into offers that are available. And guess what I didn't do yet? Create an offer. So I'm gonna go ahead and create that offer live with you, and we'll see it show up here. So as a service admin, because the offer has to exist first, I'm going to go tenant offers and plans. I'm going to create an offer, which implies creation of a plan, and then we'll move from there. So display name, this is my favorite one, best offer. And then we're going to create a plan, and you've guessed it. I'm going to create it best, call it best plan. And then what am I going to, you know, add as services? Well, there's only a couple in a brand new environment. There is storage, compute, and network. So I'm going to go ahead and hit select. And now I have three services selected. As soon as I fill these out, make the offer public and the plan public and all that good stuff, then the tenant could start consuming once they subscribe. So let's just go through the configuration. You can see here we have a region concept. Right now it's one box, one region called local. Then we could set quotas. Again, for TP1, these quotas aren't actually wired up, so don't spend too much time trying to configure them. Just take the defaults, but you could take a look at what we have available here, give us feedback on what you like and things like that. Compute's a little less expansive. Again, I'll just take the defaults, but we can see number of virtual machines. We're identifying quotas. In fact, how we identify and configure quotas is different for the next version. So again, don't get too tied into this. But if you're going to use TP1 today, which you can go download from Azure.com. These are button clicks you're going to have to know. And again, storage said maximum storage and the number of storage accounts. I'm kind of going fast through this so I don't spend too much time. And the reason I didn't set this up before is I wanted to show you it's not that hard to set one of these up, and especially in one of these smaller environments where I just have the three services. So you can see the best plan has been created, and now my best offer will be created. And now I can go ahead. Now they're both private by default, and again, we're working on differences for in TP1 versus TP2, but we're going to change the state to public for the offer, and then I'm going to browse to that plan and make that public too. And then as soon as I do this, we'll be able to go ahead and go in the on the tenant side and see that, hey, my administrator made something available to me. So let's go switch over there now and actually close this out, do get subscription, select an offer. And there's that best offer. It's got three services. It's in one region, obviously. And then it has compute, network, and storage. So I'm going to go ahead and select that one. I'm going to give it a name, something very inventive, if I could type it. And go ahead. Oh, I guess I didn't hit select as well as I should have. Go ahead and hit OK. Now, there is a known issue, whether you want to call it that or not, in TP1 where it doesn't immediately give you access to things. So what I'm going to have to do here is just sign out. And I'm going to close that and then open a new window. I'm going to log back in as that tenant, and then I'll have access to the capacity that is given to me via that subscription to the offer. And I never am I able to type this right the first time. There we go. So now, when I log in, I now have the ability to go new. Interesting, maybe it needs a little bit more time. I'll do a storage account while we're waiting. But you get the idea. I'm a tenant, I have capacity available to do things, and I can create resources based on the quotas that are set up with my plan and offer. So my storage 01, and I didn't select the subscription first, so let's do start over. It's always good to run into these things in a live demo. I'm going to select the subscription first. I'm going to type in, and that worked even though it threw something. My storage 01, choose a location, and go ahead and hit create. And I'll go ahead and start that storage account creation. But that's the concept, the same thing as Azure. And maybe if I logged off and logged back in and again, I would get access to compute. I'm not going to belabor that though. So I'm going to go back to the tenant side, or the admin side, and show you. Obviously, you saw that compute, or maybe I didn't show it before. Oh, it's not showing up here either. So I have some strange bug here that I will go ahead and file and let someone triage. So I do not want to spend too much time on here, but I'm going to go ahead and show you some other experiences that we have, namely the PowerShell experience. And you can tell this is still deploying after a while, so I bet there was something wrong there, but you know, it's a technical preview, so I appreciate your patience with me. But what I want to show you in this PowerShell window is that really it's about the setup that's different between Azure and Azure Stack, because the actual the PowerShell commands to actually deploy are the same. So really this essentially will get you set up a connection to your Azure subscription, essentially. I'm not going to do that because I have a connection to Azure Stack, but what we have here is we add essentially an Azure environment called Azure Stack. And then when you do get Azure RM environment, you see Azure Stack in the list along with government and China and Azure Cloud. And from there, you choose your environment like we do here. You authenticate to the environment. You choose the subscription that you want to deploy to. In this case, the one that's running was deployed to default provider subscription. You choose whatever variables that you want to be a part of your template or send to your template. I have a little hacktogether PowerShell script. I grab the latest resource group so I don't stomp on myself so the names that need to be unique. And then this exact same command, which is create a resource group and then a resource group deployment, is the same whether it's Azure or Azure Stack. In fact, I can toggle between just by choosing the environment that I'm authenticated to. So, and this one's, I can't kick off another one. So this is the one that's deploying and probably will fail, but we won't be here to see it, so it doesn't matter. Likewise, we have the ability to deploy Linux VMs. And again, it could have been that same script. I need to authenticate, and then I need to kick off a template, passing in some variables. This one targets a specific template for Linux. And then I send in the necessary variables, and then it will create that virtual machine in my subscription. So lastly, we can, because templates can be broad and can contain everything, or templates can be small and just contain a extension, for example, you could kick off a template that just consumes an existing virtual machine information and then initiates a DSC template, DSC extension deployment just on an existing virtual machine. So you have the ability to do that. The last thing I want to show in this particular environment is the Visual Studio experience. And I downloaded, I actually installed and everything this today. I just went to find Visual Studio 2015 community. I installed it on this client VM as part of the deployment that we give you as part of the deployment. And then I updated it with the latest Azure tools, and then I was able to go file, new, project, and then Cloud, and then Azure Resource Group. I chose Windows Virtual Machine, and that's what you see here. You can see the resources here, just like they show up. If we take a look at the resource group over here, you see we even use the same icons and everything. Here, see the comparison there and there. And then this is that JSON file. These things relate directly to the text here, so it's nice that it highlights. The other thing that I want to show you is when you right-click Deploy, New Deployment, you have you're logged in as the administrator or the tenant, and then it's querying for your Azure and Azure Stack subscriptions, and then you'll be able to deploy to both. We've done this demo a million times, so I'm not going to wait for this specific thing. Next thing I want to actually do is hop to a second environment that has web apps deployed. So I'm going to go to my desktop 3 and just show you. So it looks very much the same, except I have a different user up here for what that's worth. I'm going to go to resource providers. You can see I still have compute, network, storage, but I also have web apps in here. Let's click on that. We'll click on the management experience for that. Like the storage one, we have an administrative experience here. And you can take a look at how many roles we have deployed here, the DNS suffix that was used, if all roles are ready. We could take a look at what the worker tiers for this deployment are. We have one shared worker tier and none of the others deployed. You could take a look at what the roles are here. So again, we're as the administrator looking at the administrative side of web apps. Let's go ahead and take a quick look at the tenant side of that. And I'm not going to log in and log out with different users. Since I have a subscription as an administrator, I can test this out before I roll it out to my customers. But you can see the gallery experience. I can just deploy a simple web app. Fill out this form. Choose a subscription. In this case, it's the default provider subscription. Create a new resource group. And then choose the create a new plan, an app service plan. Make sure it's in a location. Choose the pricing tier. Obviously, we saw what environment or worker roles were available, so free or shared. So I'm going to choose free. Hit select. Hit OK. I think I've filled everything out I need to. So I'm going to go ahead and hit Create. It's submitted it. Now it's deploying the web app. And once that's finished, I can go in and hit Browse. I think that takes like 40 seconds. So I guess I can see what else I was going to show here. Okay, I was going to show the actual web app. So we can navigate to resource groups. I could go ahead and go to My Web App RG, see that it's deploying. You can see that it already had deployed the plan. Now it's deploying the web app. There's a lot of good information here in the deployment too. It just finished, so that's good. But take a look at, you know, you could look at duration. You could look at what you sent in and go, oh, I made that mistake. You know, look at the resources that it actually provisioned into the resource group. If we go back, I'm going to switch resource groups and go back. You'll see it succeeded. Here's my web app. I can explore it. Again, this is a tenant experience that I'm happen to be doing as an administrator because I have a subscription, but this is the tenant side experience. And then I go hit Browse, and it goes, hey, you created a web app. It's an empty one, but you could see that's the functionality. And that's what I wanted to show there. So I have one more environment I wanted to show you, and there's a couple things I wanted to show you in this specific environment. I'm going to go ahead and switch to my desktop. I'm going to have to, this portal's been open a little bit too long. I'm going to go ahead and open that back up. I'll log in. You notice I'm using an MSA account, perfectly fine. I deployed my POC with that MSA account. I am the owner of that particular POC environment. I can create users in my Azure Active Directory that I can then RBAC role-based access control, allow them access to my subscription resource groups and resources. But what I want to show here, again, everything's the same, same experience here. So you get familiar. If you happen to have three different deployments, you can set them up any way you want. Could be the same exact experience. But what I want to show you is I have this resource group where I deployed a Linux VM. And you can see that it's succeeded. It deployed a Linux VM. You can see the resources. And then after that, I was like, you know what? I want this to do more. So I went through the new custom template and actually copy-pasted the Docker extension template that's available on our Azure Stack GitHub. You can see that took 4 minutes to deploy, but it successfully deployed Docker extension. Now, one view that you might be used to in Azure is you go to Resource Explorer, and this is to prove that it's there more than anything. And I will show you resource groups, my LXRG. You can see those two deployments that I just showed you. But in the resources, if we go and hit virtual machine, we can see here, if we scroll down to, there's an extension was deployed, it happened to be the Docker one. And as you can see, that's been deployed. Now, you could all see that through the portal. Is it real life though? So let's go take a look at that. So I happen to have PuTTY on here, and I 192.168.133.29, I believe that is. Log in with my awesome username and password. And well, this is, I'm not a Linux guy, but I know how to run these commands. So I know Docker's on here. We saw that from the extension stuff. You can see I ran Docker, but we could run my favorite Docker command, run hello world. And I know this is probably blasphemy for all you Docker folks, but this is what I know how to do, and it proves it works, and there we go. So I have two last quick demonstrations I'm going to do before we transition out of here and I start answering your questions. So what I want to do, so I finished my Docker one, my Linux one. I want to go back and show you I have this My Storage RG here. It was successfully deployed. You can see in here, if I click on the storage account, we'll be able to see the blob service and the containers if it has any. Here's a blob service. And no blobs found. Okay, that's fine. I'm going to go create one, but I'm going to use this Azure Storage Explorer that you may or may not have seen, but it's available on CodePlex. I actually added this earlier, but I'll show you. It's really simple to add. You give the storage account name, storage account key, change this to AzureStack.local, hit test access, and then save. I mean, you don't have to hit test access, but you can. It gives you a nice checkbox. That's always nice. But save it, and then voila. We can see they had no blob containers, so I'm going to go ahead and create a new one. Pictures, because why not, right? That's what we always do here. Seems to be the most effective thing. I created that. I'm going to go ahead and upload a picture that I have saved in my templates folder. You may have seen this if you follow me on Twitter. And you can see the ping file is there. Let's go back to Azure Stack in the portal, which obviously is the same API. No tricks. We can see I now have a container called pictures. And then in there, we'll be able to let me try that again. I'm going to go here. I'm going to go here. I'm going to click here. There we go. I'm going to see that. And I could do copy the URL, open a new tab, paste, enter. I love Azure Stack. Now, that's the near the almost the last thing I'm going to do. I do have one last thing I want to do, and that's show you that I'm not spoofing any addresses or anything like that. This isn't Azure. This is Azure Stack, portal.azurestack.local. That's the same exact address you'll have if you deploy the POC, because we've made it really easy for you. But one thing I don't ever start with, because I always start at the end user experiences and work my way down. We happen to get to the end of the demo, so we can go and take a look a little bit under the covers. And in this environment, you could see there's Hyper-V. You can see the host. And those GUID VMs are the ones that have been deployed by ARM. And we could quickly see, if you read the documentation, we have these management virtual machines. We have an XRP VM where the XRPs are running. We have SQL where some metadata is stored, Portal, ARM and Portal. We have network controller NAT, MUX, and BGP, those are the networking VMs. We have the AD VM because it's Azure Stack.local. And then we have the Azure Consistent Storage VM, as well as that client VM where I've been living in each of the POC environments that I've been in on. So that's the end of my demonstration. And I hope I covered most of the bases on those end user experiences across these three different environments. But one thing I want to impress on everyone is that while Azure is a multi-purpose cloud that can, you could have all the things there, your Azure stacks can be individually tuned to what you want. You could have one that's IaaS, you could have one that's IaaS and PaaS, you could have one that just has web apps and not SQL or MySQL. It depends on what you want to do. You can build your own thing because you have the control and it's going to be in your data center. So I guess now I head over and talk to Matt addressing some of the questions that you've brought up during this show.
Nice job, sir. Thank you, Mr. Charles Joy. Thank you. It's Matt McSpirit back with you again to grill Charles on everything that he's just presented. We've got a few questions that have come in from you at home. Thanks for watching. Thanks for sticking with us. And thanks for your questions. Come in, sir. Yeah, just come straight in. Don't worry.
Hi.
We are following you.
Oh, goodness.
Yep, indeed. Come through. Fellow Duvalian.
Yes.
The left-handed handshake. I didn't quite get it there. Let's do a proper one.
Let's do it. Yes.
There you go. Thank you very much for the show so far.
Less weird that way.
Yeah, a little bit. It looks like we were just holding hands for the first rather than handshake, which is fine.
It's all fun.
Duval, if you're not familiar, is a small town about 15 miles from Redmond. There, give or take.
Yeah. 45 minutes with bad traffic.
Who would have thought that of 100,000 people, Microsoft, two of us live in the same town?
Right.
I mean, it's just crazy talk. So we've got some good questions, but thank you again for the demo. Thanks for and explaining it. It is a, whilst it's easy to say it's Azure in your data center, there's a lot more to it than that. There's a lot more going on under the covers.
Absolutely.
The first question I had, and you started to explain it a little bit at the end with the list of VMs and stuff, let's assume that I have nothing to start with. I've got this server. I've looked up at the requirements, which if you could remind us of those, that would be great.
Yeah, we have minimum recommended requirements. The min requirements, and obviously I'm not going to go through the list, but minimum requirements is 96 gig of RAM, 12 core, two sockets, so six each, five disks. That's a hard requirement.
An OS disk and four
data. Yeah, exactly. Yep. And then for the recommended, and the rigs that I was showing were recommended, so I could get web apps on there easily with some headroom so I could deploy some stuff. The recommended is not that much more, but it's 128 gig of RAM, 16 core, so dual eights, and then still five disks.
Right.
Now, one thing I do want to address, and people know this because we've addressed it publicly, yes, you can change the prerequisite script to make it pass prerequisites.
Yep.
That doesn't make it better.
No, it because just makes it possible.
Yes, you can maybe even get it deployed on your Surface, but you've not won anything.
It would get really hot.
Yes, but you've not won anything because now you have a platform
with
no room at all to put anything on.
Yeah, fair enough.
So you can do that. I don't recommend it at all.
No.
Remember, it's not just an application you're deploying. You're deploying a hybrid cloud platform.
Well, you saw all of the VMs that are powering this. There was a lot of stuff running on there. And yes, I've seen blog posts that I'm sure you're referencing there that 32 gig of RAM, it's doable. And I've got a laptop back in my office that's got 32 gig. It's got SSDs.
Yeah.
So it could be done in a nested VM even. But your mileage may vary, I suppose, is a safe way.
Yeah, and nested is an option people are using. And then we can't get it. We love the innovation. We love people wanting to do it. Like we don't like seeing tweets, oh, that's too much, and a sad face. You know, I can't try it out. So you can try it out, but obviously this isn't production TP1 anyway.
Yep.
But it's even less supported when you do it in nested or a minimum config because it may work, but then it's not going to be stable. And we're working on TP bits of server, as you know, as the requirements, and then we're working on TP bits of Azure Stack, and sometimes those things don't align. Down the line, will nested be a thing that we can do? Maybe if we work out all the things, that'd be great. It'd be a wonderful environment to be able to spin up quickly.
Yeah, for demos and labs and stuff
exactly.
like that. Yeah, so. Cool. All right, so how much will you, as a follow-up for my question in terms of requirements then, I've got a server that is recommended, so I've gone down that road. I've got a spare server. It doesn't have to be a brand new server. We've seen plenty of blog posts where people are running it on servers 5 or 6 years old or even older.
Right.
It's just as long as it's got those requirements, and they're not drastically, 6-core processor or even 4 core processors, you know, that's fine as well. So all of that stuff is cool. You've got your server. You deploy Windows Server 2016, the technical preview 4.
Yep.
And you've got a single NIC, and there's some good blog posts out there. You've got one NIC enabled, at least.
Yes.
We want
yep.
the other NICs disabled.
Yep.
And that's in the documentation.
Yep.
Talk me through what I need to do from there, just as a recap.
And actually, I'm going to make a quick video of this since, to me, it's super simple because you download the bits.
Yeah.
And the steps there are, you get the download the bits, which is a giant zip file, 10 gig or something like that. You expand the zip file. It's then an .exe with some bin files. Mm-hmm. It's the compression, right?
And you put that on your C drive, your system drive, because your other drives haven't been used.
Exactly. And then, in fact, they're offline.
Right. Right.
That's following the instructions. You expand that. Now you have essentially four VHDs and a PowerShell script.
Right.
Granted, if you have enough space, because all of that takes up space, you have to do some jockeying with space. So if you have a staging server and then copy bits, that's perfectly fine too. In the end, you have a POC machine, recommended specs. You put the four VHDs and PowerShell script on it somewhere, C: Azure Stack or whatever.
Yep.
And then you open PowerShell, administrative PowerShell. You're likely logged into the box as an administrator.
Yeah.
And then there's a couple interesting things. If you just ran the PowerShell script, and you go to log into AAD, because it uses IE, it's going to go, JavaScript's not enabled. So we have some documentation around that. You essentially disable the enhanced security, or you could tweak it however you want. Essentially, this is a POC machine, so just it's easier to disable it. I don't like to say disable security, but that's the easiest path.
Right.
You're already hacking the server, so what's the difference? But I jest. So disable that. Make sure you do. There's a weird cookies thing too, where you just go into privacy, advanced, click OK.
Yeah.
So once you've cleared all that, right, you just execute the PowerShell script, and then you it asks you for a built-in password. Essentially, that's the password for all the things.
Mm.
So it's the admin account, it's the local accounts for all the VMs or all that stuff. Then it asks you to verify.
Yep.
Then it says, hey, we need AAD. So it goes, you go, okay, hit yes. That's where it tries to open that IE window, which if you haven't cleared, you'll know.
Yeah.
Then you put in your credentials. For mine, like I said, I use my MSA, so I use charles.joy@hotmail.com. No, I don't monitor that email address. and then I have Active Directories associated to that.
Yep.
In fact, if you have more than one, it lists them. You choose the one you want. It goes, are you sure? And you go, yes. It goes, are you sure? And you go, yes. And then you wait. So
a couple of hours.
Yeah. Now we've had it deploy as fast as like 45 to an hour on super fast, you know, like smoking machine.
Yep.
And then we saw one guy on his laptop, it took 9 hours.
Oh,
so
dear.
If you do recommend it, it's going to take like 2.5 hours.
Right.
And then you may or may not, when you log back in again, and you could log in, but it reboots, so you'll get kicked out. You can log in and you'll see congratulations message. And if you don't
you made it.
Yes. And if you don't see that for some reason, we have documentation. You go check the log deployment, see program data /Microsoft/Azure Stack/deployment status. And you can see completed. If it has an error in there, we have methods to help you through those errors. So that's it. And then as soon as you do that, double click on that client VM or client RDP file and go into the client, open the portal. Again, you'll probably have to do some of the portal tweaks, or the IE tweaks. Open the portal, log in as that user that you supplied, and then you're at that experience that I showed at the first part of my demo, where you have to create a plan and offer.
Right,
or you could just start deploying VMs right from there because you have a subscription. The difference, and I didn't talk about in the demo, the difference between the default provider subscription and you're the owner of that and a tenant has quota.
Right,
as a provider, you don't have quota, so you could just use it. And if that's all, if you're an enterprise and you're not going to have you just want to kick the tires and use ARM templates and all this stuff, you don't have to. Mm. But if you want to start using that, how am I going to differentiate between provider and tenant? Absolutely, use those experiences. We have documentation around it.
Nice. So how much, you mentioned Azure Active Directory, how much will you need to use Azure to take advantage of Azure Stack features in a local data center? Is this just a TP1
thing? For TP1.
Yeah.
And going forward, so TP1 is a requirement for Azure Active Directory. Going forward, Azure Active Directory will be a requirement for hybrid scenarios.
Yes.
If you don't want to do hybrid scenarios, we will have an option. We are working on ADFS and AD as a disconnected environment. But personally, the way I'm looking at it is that, you know, you go buy software and the premium is all the checkboxes, right? Mm-hmm. And then the as you get maybe like standard.
Or buying a car or whatever. Same kind of
exactly.
Thing,
I can't guarantee that absolutely everything you'll have in a hybrid situation will be available disconnected, right? I'm not making a statement of, you know, that's the way it is, but in my mind, you'll be able to do more in a hybrid environment than you would in a disconnected. But we want to serve those disconnected customers because they have very good reasons for being disconnected. So we have an option for both, and we'll have services that will be available for both. And, you know, so early on, I can't say what's in, what's out, but just keep that in mind. If you can run hybrid, that I think will be the optimal experience.
Okay, so for somebody, IT pros out there, even developers who want to kick the tires and start building apps against this, obviously they could just use Azure Resource Manager in Azure.
Yep.
But what about for an IT pro, what's the best way to get started with Azure Stack? And what are some of the most important technologies to have some foundational knowledge of?
So PowerShell.
Yep.
ARM templates or JSON templates, understanding our schema for that, you know. Understanding the resources. So, I mean, Visual Studio, but they've carved out this tiny IT pro space in Visual Studio that you saw I was in, right? So
bigger buttons and stuff.
bigger buttons. Yeah. So you do that cloud resource group. You saw that template come in. You click on the little thing, the JSON outline. You highlight, you know, virtual machine. It highlights the text that's virtual machine. Get used to that, right? That's kind of, I don't know if anyone will ever make it the giant easy button for JSON files or whatever. But as it was said previously, it's not as hard as it looks. Yeah. Yes, it looks like a text file, but it's not that bad.
Once you break it down, you start with simple ones, it does actually make sense.
And then there's a ton of examples. So you're not alone. You're not opening Notepad and have the flashing cursor, like, I don't know what to do. Yeah. Go to GitHub in Azure
reuse,
or Azure Stack.
Reuse from the community, contribute back. That's what it's all about. And, you know, there's no harm in cheating. Pull down somebody else's work.
Yeah, modify
it. Give them a hat tip, say thanks very much. But, you know, you can reuse it. That's what the samples are there for. That's why people are uploading and contributing. And that's the whole thing about community.
The Azure portal is the other tool, right? Yeah. Because those same clicks you do in the Azure portal are the same clicks you're going to do in the Azure Stack portal, which is the Azure portal just on Azure Stack.
So how do you expect Azure Stack to evolve in the future? I'm guessing the answer is Azure, I suppose, in that kind of direction. You alluded to not everything we'll go into.
So we're following Azure, right? They make improvements, we get the improvements sort of thing. We will have an update cadence. This is a continuously improving product over time. We're not shipping you something and then waiting 3 years and shipping you something. We will ship you something and then X number of months later we'll ship you something. It's your responsibility to update it. Mm-hmm. And there will be a period of time that if you don't update it, you're not relevant anymore.
Right.
I mean, that's just the concept. Just like, Azure keeps innovating, right? And we will keep taking those things.
Yep.
And we will keep, like I said, at GA, for Azure Stack to be at GA, we will have the foundational stuff and a bunch of stuff at GA, but there will be services that will be in preview. Mm-hmm. And then whatever months later, based on that service's life cycle, that will be in GA. And then a new service will be in preview, and then so on and so forth. So the evolution, the future of Azure Stack, just look to Azure.
Yep.
And then, of course, based on scale requirements of that service, if you have your favorite service and it requires huge scale, we're working with those teams to figure out how to get that on a small scale, or does it make sense? Can it be a hybrid thing? That's one of those checkbox type things. Mm. It's just, you know, what we're thinking right now. So,
and I guess going forward, as it stands today with the POC, with TP1, it's, as you said, PowerShell script, go, and it does everything.
Mm-hmm.
Is there room and scope going forward for the IT pro? Will they have to know a little bit more of the plumbing going forward
Absolutely.
You know, the storage to the networking stack and all that stuff.
So for TP1, our theme here was Azure consistency. Yeah. As you saw, there was a majority of Azure consistent experiences. Mm. TP2 or whenever it lands will be still Azure consistent stuff, but there'll be way more operator stuff. So way more things that the IT pros, the MVPs can go, look, I'm an expert in this widget thingy, right, that does this thing.
Right, nice.
And moving on, then we're going to onboard more Azure services, the next theme. The next theme might be hybrid stuff. So what is more hybrid things? Like, what are the cool things? You keep saying hybrid, make something cool. That's not, okay, I use the same portal or I use the same PowerShell script. I know that's going to get tiresome for the community over time. But we will have better and more awesome hybrid experiences, you know, closer to GA. But for the IT pro specifically, there will be more bells and whistles in future releases, so look for a lot more of those things.
Yeah, but that's not to say wait, don't do it.
Yeah, no, not at all.
Still deploy TP1, play around, you can use it in the same way Charles has used it, and also get used to things like ARM templates and so on.
Yeah.
It's a great opportunity to get ahead of the curve and start to learn and embrace.
Absolutely,
So thanks for the session again, thanks for the questions. We're gonna wrap up the day, so I've got a few housekeeping things to go through. Aside from thanking you, thanks to the whole team, done a fantastic job on helping us bring this to you. Thank you so much to you for watching and sticking with us. Don't forget, everything that you may have missed is available on demand. So it's on Channel 9. Thanks to our partners, Therot.com, Petri, and IT Dev Connections, where you may have been watching the stream on one of those as a side to Channel 9. Hopefully you've had a great experience following along with us and all of the technical content that we've brought to you across a multitude of different areas, across Windows, enterprise mobility, the thought leadership from day one, and all the cool infrastructure stuff that was today. In terms of helping the people who've been answering your questions, thanking the people who've been answering your questions as well, our MVPs and our technical evangelists, thank you very much. We couldn't do it without you. Your phenomenal work putting in to help answer those questions and give you, the community, and our customers and partners out there all the knowledge that you need to really evaluate and to use and to want to use these technologies as well. So all that's left for me to do, I've been Matt McSpirit, your host for the day. Thank you very much. Thanks. Hopefully you've had a good time. We'll see you again on another production. Don't forget all of the other cool Channel 9 resources we've got, Nano Server channel, Containers channel, going to work on an Azure Stack channel as well. And we're going to give you now a blooper reel, and make sure you enjoy it. It's a good laugh.
Are we still rolling? We might be rolling.
We're still rolling.
We might be rolling. Let's just assume we're rolling.
You should always assume you're rolling.
So roll.
At some point I'm going to leave her and kiss him because we're nice and close here.
Wait, I didn't know that was part of the deal.
Who's going to win? Technology, humanity? Are we going to be serving over robot overlords? What if we really are overtaken by the machine? Beer is good, isn't it?
Beer is great.
Or are they going to be serving us?
There's some things a man can't explain to his wife, and glitter on the face is one of them.
Oh, let's get started. Okay. And my name is Lara, and we're going to... today we're going to talk about where we've been with data, where we're going, and... Oh, I screwed that up.
It's okay. The camera's not even on you.
Oh, great. Where we're going with data. Screwed it up again.
Okay. Eye contact is just astonishing.
That's what babies do.
You didn't shave this morning. I did.
You should have like stickers we could put on your head.
There's number one.
I don't know if I can be this close to you when you're talking.
Hey, Rick.
No, it's just that you're so
especially since I was flirting with you earlier. He is a good-looking man.
I'm Lara. We're going to talk about it's that order. Yes, where we've been.
Where we are today.
And where we're going.
Long live the human race.
Cheers to the human race.
I got all the anecdotes out. Yeah, I think we're good.
No pressure. That's awesome.
It's all data.
It's all data.
TechNet virtual phone again. So no F-bombs.
No? So we went from minimal to now no? And I'm speaking to the...
TechNet.
Virtual conference.
No, I'll do that.
Okay.
My jacket's in that car.
Rick and her?
Yeah.
I have to look at you. Could you all swap places?
Yes, you guys are a little, you're killing me. You gotta engage.
I'm proud.
We're gonna talk about vulnerabilities, exploits, and how vulnerable you are.
Yeah, Cubana sandwiches. I'm Nick Crocodilis. I'm the...
Should we make it PowerShell Rocks or I Wish I Invented PowerShell?
You got married to a Foley? Why would you listen to me?
Seriously, he said it himself.
You got married to a Foley and you're interviewing me? Do you know how awesome she is? No, seriously, she's too smart. I don't have the brain cells to compete with that. I love Mary Jo.
It came from him.
You already know what it is.
Is that gold?
Golden.
Okay.
Don't even do it again.
I don't want to do it again.
Get the fuck out of here and have a beer.
That's it, you're done. Foley, seriously, why did you bring that? The last minute, I did all this work. All right, I did get a beer. But Mary Jo
That's
Foley,
you
got
it.
All you need. You don't need me anymore. I'm done with out of here.
We'll be right back.